1 Thessalonians. I'll slow down and that will help. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we'll be looking at verses 6 through 13 tonight. And just before we do, one more time, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for His instruction from His Word. Our God, we again thank You for Your truth, Lord, and we know just even our own hearts and our own minds, Lord, sometimes how maybe thick-headed we can be in just applying some of these truths that You give us in Your Word. And Lord, we just pray that as Your Word is read, Lord, as we look at it together, Lord, You would open up our eyes to just see how we ought to think, Lord, how we ought to live, and Lord, work in our hearts to change us and to conform us to what it is that You desire for us to be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now we will look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 13, and as we look at this section, we will even jump back, just even understanding kind of the issue that is maybe taking place here, the reason for the letter, the reason for this part of the letter, and the reaction that they have, just really beginning. Oh, thank you, Ryan. If anybody didn't get the handouts, they're back there if you want to go get them. There are some that you can get. Again, those were in the printer and not printed till the meeting. So if you want to get those, I will not be offended or think you're going to leave if you go to the back. But looking at this, just realizing that the faith of others was their concern. Faith is what really mattered. And to understand that and to look at even in verse 17 of chapter 2, just understand, but we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short while in person, not in spirit, were all the more eager with great desire to see your face. And realize they weren't even there all that long before they were taken away. It's, look, we have to get out of here because of the danger that they were in, and even possibly the danger that they were to the people that they were trying to share the gospel with. And these people had a measure of faith. Maybe some had made a profession of faith. And as we look at verse 5 of chapter 3, just in their hearts as they were kept thinking about those people, he said, "For this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter might have tempted you and our labor would be in vain." Of all the things he could have been concerned about, he was concerned about their faith. Even without knowing them all that well, he knew what they had been taught. He knew the joy that was in their hearts and the rejoicing when they heard and received the truth. The hunger that they had to receive even more of God's word. But he also knew about the struggles, the trials, the difficulties, the temptations, the other teachers that were there that were maybe pulling at them and leading them astray from the truth. Those that were saying things about Paul and those who were with them and their motivations and their intent and calling into question maybe their integrity and their authority. And he says, all of those things come into place. We weren't with you that long and we know where your hearts were. And the longer that we're away from you, the more and more that we just are concerned about what's happened to you. Do you still have that same joy and excitement about God's word? Are you still standing fast and holding firm to the things that you were taught? Or are you wavering and doubting and have some walked away from the truth that we've shown you? Now, even with them, they've had that profession of faith. In some ways, even for us, I don't know when the last time, you know, someone would have come up to you and said, "Hey, this is what God has done in my heart." Sometimes even with younger kids, just recently somebody comes up and says, "Hey, I asked Jesus to save me." Well, that's fantastic. And maybe to ask that question, how do we receive such a proclamation? You know, is there skepticism or or saying, well, we'll see about that. A few years will reveal to us just how real and true that is. But as we look at them, how good it is just even to think, you know what, when I hear something like that, when we hear something like that, to make sure that we have a response of expectation and hope in the work that God will do in the hearts of them. Not to look at a 5 or 6-year-old and say, how much can they really understand? I don't care. I want to teach them so they can understand more. I trust that God has started a work in their life, and I trust that He's going to finish that in their life. You know, and looking at them and just their attitude to say, hey, they've made this profession of faith, and we are expecting good things. We are concerned about some bad things. And they would have great sorrow if they found out that people had walked away from the faith. You know, and we can look at that. And people that are not walking with the Lord, well, they made a profession of faith at this point. It might even be 10 years ago. We think, well, I figured maybe that would happen. So, no, again, it's skepticism that we really ought not have. There's but sorrow in our hearts that what they've been taught and what we thought they were holding to, they have now abandoned. You know, those people that we don't see very often and we wonder and we think about and say, I wonder where they are in their faith today. I know where they were. I've heard a few things. I'm concerned, maybe even about some of the things that I hear. We might know more than what they did. You don't have to send somebody to get a report. You might just be able to look at a Facebook page or something else on social media and say, I'm concerned about what they're thinking, what they're doing, what they're saying. And for them, it's just that idea that there was a real concern about their faith and where they were, and they were walking and all these things. Not, I wonder if they're healthy. I wonder if they're happy. I wonder how things are going with them. The one concern they had was what's happening with their faith. Are they strong? Are they steadfast? Are they holding on? Are they loving God's word more and more? He says, well, they just didn't know. And they sent Timothy there to find out. I think it kind of goes along with our side-by-side discussion too, just to look at other people. And we'll look at it and say, what's going on in their heart? What's happening with their faith? If we were to look around this room, we can look and say, I know what their struggles are. And I know what their struggles are. Their back hurts really bad, and it's hard for them to sit for long periods of time. And their eyes are failing, and Lord, we want that to get better. There might be somebody that's going through a financial struggle and difficulty and saying, Lord, what can we do to help out with that? But I think in that study, and to think about those sorts of things and say, it's good to be concerned. It's good to want to meet needs and all of that. And even sometimes missions trips and things like that, humanitarian efforts are wonderful and they are necessary. But as we see with them and for us, when we think about and look around at the people in this room, our biggest concern, the greatest weight on our hearts and minds as we think about them is, where are they at in their faith? Is their faith strong? Is their faith growing? Are they walking in the things of God and according to the Spirit, that there's evidence of that to them and to others? So that just kind of sets the stage. It's technically not even our passage yet. But I think to get that idea in our minds that when we look about and we think about each other, to ask that question, I'm concerned about your faith. Not necessarily because I see problems, but that's my concern. That is the first priority I have when I think about you, when I pray for you, and those things, to say, I want to see them strong and growing in their faith. So we see in verse 6, as we turn the corner into our passage, the faith of others was their concern, but in this it says the faith of others was their joy. The joy that they had in verse 6 is, but now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us just as we also long to see you. For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. For now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. And first of all, it came back with a positive report. I mean, they were concerned. They were burdened about where the faith of these Thessalonian believers was. When they got that positive report back, it gave them great joy and comfort. One is just because of the positive report. The first thing they heard is that their faith and love abounded and grew. Well, the faith is wonderful. It says, well, they're trusting in Christ. They're still believing the truth and the things that we have known from we've taught you from the beginning. So they're holding on to those things. They're still believing those things. Those things still matter, and they're important to them. And also love, as we look at that even later on, but the love for the brethren, you know, for one another. We just finished a study in the Gardner Hall Sunday School class about 1 John and the importance of loving one another. And there's times they even passages that say, not in 1 John, but they will know you are my disciples by the love that you have one for another. He says, in their mind, this is evidence. This is proof that these things stuck. And they didn't just stick because they were good at their job and teaching or because the Thessalonians were so steadfast, but because God is at work in their hearts. And that brought Paul and the others that were with him great, great joy. We also see that idea of their faith and their love, but also just the connection that they had with one another. Even without being there that long, the idea that their hearts knit together by the truths of God's word, a common faith, a common hope, and a common joy. It says that you think, always think kindly of us. Someplace you think fondly of us, and you long to see us just as we long to see you. You know, thoughts of the time that they spent together. You know, that was significant. It was important. And you can probably think of a few people even in your own life who have had a great impact upon you. They were the people who maybe they sat down with you in a Sunday school class and they taught you and put up with your shenanigans and all of those things, but they were faithfully teach and teach and teach. You know, for me, it's an older man. I don't know that anybody here still remembers Reverend Carpenter when we were at the church in Edinburgh. That was always disappointed when Garden Heights would call him to come and fill the pulpit, because that meant he wasn't going to be there to give me Tic Tacs when I was a lad. And he would always be back Sunday night, and then I could get my candy from Reverend Carpenter. But he's the one that took over teaching the Awanas and working with the senior high boys when nobody else wanted to. Didn't have a whole lot of energy, but he'd sit down and teach us and talk with us. You can think of other people that maybe have encouraged you in your faith or strengthened you in your faith, shared the word of God with you in times of great need. Just to sit beside you, to pray with you. And I think this is a testimony even to that. It's more than just, hey, we liked having you guys around. Hey, we had some good meals together, didn't we? I think they looked at it and realized the mutual benefit that they had in their faith because of the time that they spent together. And they longed for more of that because it united them and bound them together in a way that simple hospitalities just won't do. And so in that, as they looked at the time that they spent together, that they were connected, and the joy that brought because of the things that they would share from the Word, that is part of that positive report. And just to hear, this is good. They remember the time that we spent together, the things that we talked about. They loved those times. They loved those teachings. And they're holding fast to them and are loving each other. And then he says the result of that, you know, it's a pleasant rest. They received a positive report, but they had a pleasant rest. That in our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. For now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. Paul, those who were with them, were in some significant distress and affliction of their own. In the midst of their physical struggles and trials, the pressures that were around them, they also carried around this burden and this weight of wondering what was happening to the faith of these young believers who had loved God's word, who had believed God's truth. And now we're facing challenges, and they weren't there to answer their questions. They weren't there to help them and to guide them through those things. And when they heard that such good things were happening, he says, we have comfort. It doesn't matter how bad the distress and affliction are. We have joy in the faith that you are demonstrating. You are standing firm in the Lord, and now we live. It gives us joy. It gives us hope. You know, and again, in that, what a wonderful testimony. Maybe some of you could say, I have experienced that. I was going through struggles. I was going through trials. I was going through difficulties. Things were about as miserable as they could be. But I saw what God was doing in the heart and the life of someone else. And that gave me joy in the midst of whatever it is that I might be going through. You know, and in our hearts, again, as we think about those, we talked before about making professions of faith, but those that are growing in that faith. Hopefully, as we look at that and say, oh, that's nice. That's good. That excites us. You know, that makes us want to jump and dance and just excited about what God is doing. And for them, realize we can't be there, but the Lord has been all along. And for that, they are just so, so thankful in the midst of their trial because they could see that God is at work. They're standing firm in the Lord. The Spirit has worked in their hearts through the word of God. They're growing. They're strong. And I don't know who they left there to teach them or to help them. But maybe even just by evidence, we're not there. We're concerned. But look what God has done. Isn't he faithful? And he is more than capable to do those things. And for us to look at the faith of other people, might we have the same kind of joy when we see what God is doing in the lives and in the hearts of other people. I'd say that makes me happier and more excited than anything else that you could share with me. Someone says, hey, my kid's got a full ride scholarship. Hey, my kid made the varsity team. They scored 75 points in the basketball game last week. Well, those are exciting accomplishments that we see done. But I said, but what's going on in your faith? You could have told them anything. I don't know what other report. Hey, you know, Jim finally caught his donkey that was lost for 2 weeks. All those things might have come back in a report, but the only thing they seemed to really be that excited about was what was happening, what God was doing in the hearts of his people. And that's important for us. Again, I said a lot of these things, maybe it's just that's where my head is, but maybe that's because this is what the Word of God says. Thinking again just about our side-by-side study, you know, what's so good about sharing what God is doing in our lives and in our hearts? Well, it's because we all should be able to rejoice in that together. No matter where I am, to hear about what God's doing in your heart and in your life will bring me joy. And that's the way we need to live. That's what we want to live. That's the way I think as the Spirit works in our hearts and we are living the Christian life, that's just naturally the way it happens. And that's why it is so good for us to do that. And then in verse 9, as we see, the faith of others was their joy. Well, the faith of others was their prayer. Their concern, again, where are their hearts? Where is their faith? He says, that's what we pray about. So in verse 9, he says, "For what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God on your account?" As we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. Now may God our Father himself and Jesus our Lord direct our way to you, and may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you, so that he may establish your hearts without blame in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. So begin in verse 9. The first thing is in their prayer, it was thankfulness to God. He says, what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy in which we rejoice? This has brought so much joy to us to hear about what God has done in your account. So I cannot thank God enough. Words will not suffice to tell God how thankful I am for what I've heard about what he has done in you. I am so happy and joyful over those things, Paul writes. You know, and even for us, as we think about praying with other people's or about the faith of others, just may that be a prayer request. And I talked at a men's breakfast once, and I've got some cards that are made. It says, "I thank my God," whatever, if just to send a note to somebody. And say, "I thank God for this, because it's what God has done in you. It's what God has made you to be. It's what God has led you to do. And I'm thankful for him, for what he's doing in you." And that's what he's talking about. We give thanks to God. Also, just realizing he has a desire to encourage them even more with the word. Night and day we pray earnestly that we might see your face, that we might complete what is lacking in your faith. So this is what we want and this is what we desire. Again, going back to that thankfulness, earnestly waiting and looking and say, we just want to teach you more. Even for that, doesn't sound like a whole lot is lacking in their faith. They're growing. They're abounding in love. Lots of good things are happening in the lives of these believers. Yes, we want to be there again so we can teach you more, that we can continue to encourage you from God's word to be faithful, that you might have a greater understanding of your sinfulness, that you might have a greater understanding of God's grace towards you, that you might have a greater understanding of the hope that is yours through Jesus Christ given to you by God, a greater understanding of what it means to walk according to the Spirit. So he's asking in verse 11 that request. He says, we want God and Jesus our Lord to direct our way to you, that we can spend more time with you. Again, not because God can't, but because it's their joy to encourage and to strengthen the faith of others. So God, let us encourage them with your word. Let us be together so we can talk about these things, that their faith might be even stronger than it is right now. That might be why some of the fear that they had about their faith, had they fallen away, there's so much more we wanted to share with you. There's so much more they didn't know. Maybe they didn't understand. Well, let me see. It didn't matter because God kept them by His power. But they said, we want to teach you those things. We want to be a part of this process in seeing you and watching you grow in your faith. I also prayed in verse 12 that they would increase and abound in love for one another, which they already are doing. And said, and for all people, just as we also do for you. I don't think there may be any question in their mind how much it was that Paul and his companions loved those people. Again, without even spending all of that much time together, knit together, rejoicing in one another's faith, encouraging one another by God's word. But they were knit together in love for one another. And he says, might the Lord continue just to cause that to increase and abound in your lives, because it's the evidence of faith, because it is given to you as God has loved you, that you might love Him and you might love others as well. We want you to increase and abound in your love for one another. And then the final one, there is just, we just pray that your hearts would be established without blame and holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. I think it kind of goes along with what Jonathan shared this morning. What was the statement? He said we might be wanting or desiring to pray for ourselves and for others. Anybody remember? Go home and listen to it on the internet. I heard it at the beginning, I heard it at the end. I didn't hear. You were in children's church. Jonathan? They'd end well. I think that kind of ties in here. Just to say, you know, at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all His saints, you know, I just want to know that you ended well. And I think in this text, we see both sides of that, realizing and understanding that, hey, our hearts are established in righteousness before God through Jesus Christ. As He looked at them and saw with their faith, I think the strengthening of their faith and the evidence of their faith just gave Him that much more confidence and assurance that someday at the coming and the return of the Lord Jesus with all His saints, they would be among the saints. Because He has seen evidence of God's work in their hearts. Their hearts have been established without blame in holiness. I think we also see on that side the idea that it's, look, I want you to grow in your holiness as well. I want your hearts to be steadfast. I want your hearts to be established so that each and every day you can look back and say, you know, I may have had my ups and my downs, but I have grown in my faith. My desire to walk with the Lord and be obedient to His word, to be faithful and to be holy, my desire continues to grow, and that is my aim. That is my joy. That's what I'm striving to do, to be pleasing to Him with every word and every deed. There's a side, you know, maybe that as well. Or we understand, I think we said well in Sunday school this morning, just the fact, you know, our justification, you know, on the one hand, to say, I am established and I am righteous before God because of Jesus Christ. But I know that while I'm walking this earth, there's growing to do. There's work that needs to be done that I might be more and more holy and growing in my sanctification. And He's not saying, I hope that you love one another. I hope that you grow in your faith, because if you don't, you can't stand before God, before Jesus Christ. And that's evidence of those things. He says, no, I hope you'll do it because you stand before God and through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because I want your hearts to be established in holiness, to set yourselves apart, to live every day just growing in that love, growing in their sanctification and holiness as they live their lives before God. There's a quote here from Ironside. Hope you can follow along. It says, sometimes leaders have to say some very strong things in order to impress upon the young the importance of being wholly yielded to Christ. Let me assure you of this, that in the coming day when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, no one will be sorry because he was so completely yielded to the Lord. But in that day, there will be many, I am sure, who would give worlds if they had possessed them, if only they had been more devoted, more truly separated from the world, more out and out for their Savior in this scene below. Not to say that it's going to take away from them the fact that they stand before the Lord righteous because of the work of Christ. But he talks about at that day, I wish I would have done better. I wish I would have done more. You know, broken over, you know, maybe sin, things that we neglected. Rejoicing in what's true about us, that none of those things are going to keep us out of the presence of God. And I think his point is nobody's going to get there and say, man, why was I so holy in the life below? We'll see that and say, nope. If anything, I wish I'd have done more work to live a holy life while I was walking this earth. And he's praying those things. You know, the desire, I want you to be established in your faith. I want you to be abounding in your love. And I want you to be growing in your holiness. Looking forward to that day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. You can stand without blame in holiness and rejoicing in those truths. And all of this, again, just to look at it and say that the faith is what matters. Interesting, even in that prayer, not once, oh, we're praying that the persecution goes away and the troubles that you have. Praying that you would be blessed and prosper and your enemies would fall to ruin. It's just we want to see your faith grow. Your faith is what really matters to us. If they die because of their faith, they could rejoice in that because the faith is what matters. Surely sorrowing over the difficulties that they have, all the things that they may have lost, but their heart's concern, their heart's joy, and their heart's prayer was for the faith of the believers, not for all the other things that were going on around them. Just an encouragement to us. You know, when we pray for other people, again, I said we can look around this room and see a lot of different people, the needs that we have. You know, we spent more than a few weeks together and we know each other and we know the struggles and the difficulties that are there. And for some, maybe even close enough to be able to say, well, I know where their heart struggles are. I know where their faith needs to be strengthened. I know where their weaknesses lie. To look at and say, those things are the things I'm praying for even more than just the things that are happening around them. But God would use the things that are happening around them to establish their hearts in great faith and in love and in holiness. So we'll go to prayer. I said we had three requests tonight. Maybe there are